You are invited, body and soul. To welcome the dawn. Transformation. This shirt was white when I got here. But Miss Alyssa knew that starched white shirt the first day was not a starched white shirt, but a cry for help. A deep inward surge crying for tie-dye. So many of you know the routine. If any of those words of that welcome to the dawn, whether it be bliss or growth or action or look, just shout them out if you remember them, and if you're too late and you remembered it, oh, I like that word, go ahead and shout it out anyway. Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. Through its brief course run all the verities and realities of existence. Nobody likes reality? Nobody likes reality? No, okay. Verity? No, verity? No. Existence? Anyway. Oh, there you go, existence. The verities and realities of existence. The bliss of growth. The splendor of beauty, the glory of action. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well spent, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day.
We'll remain standing for our chalice lighting, the promise of peace. May our chalice.
Today, we have a story of a preeminent human rights activist before human rights became the coin of the realm. Am I on or do I need to talk louder? I'm not on, thanks. Before human rights language became the coin of the international realm, a person who protested the enslavement of Africans, who supported a socialist revolution in Italy, who was the first major U.S. foreign correspondent and first literary editor of a major U.S. metropolitan newspaper. She was the editor of the transcendentalist literary magazine, The Dial. She was a best-selling author of a book on feminism a generation before the suffragettes. as well as author of four other books, about 350 articles, essays, and poems. All this until she and her husband and her only son died in a shipwreck 100 yards off the coast of New York. Lots of people came to the beach with carts to take away anything that might float to the shore, but none with rescue in mind. All this before age 40. Margaret Fuller is the person that we'll be talking about today. Anybody over 40 here? Yeah. We got some catching up to do. But she had an early start. Anybody 9 years old here? 9 year olds? Anybody say what a 9 year old is doing these days? What do you do as a 9 year old? You go to the mall, you play Wii. Oh, Wii is so 2008. Rap Dave, come on. So, what do we do as a 9 year old?
Texting.
Texting. You're nine. Oh, you know a 9 year old. Anybody? Want to tell me what we do as when we're nine? We sit. We don't say much. Well, at 9 years old, not 9 a.m., at 9 years old, Margaret Fuller was translating Cicero and Virgil. And I would expect, although I don't know this to be a fact, but that most nine-year-olds would be saying, Virgil, what? The ancient classics of Latin and three other languages is how she spent her nine-year-old mornings and afternoons. And also reading in those four languages all sorts of philosophy and technology. And writing literary criticism at 9 years old. So yeah, our Margaret had an early start. But what moves me about Margaret Fuller's story is her work with people, especially but not limited to people who were institutionalized, and not especially but not limited to women. She would visit and tend to their physical needs, but also always with this spirit and this eye, perhaps a third eye, towards their inner divinity that she knew was there. She was a bit of a Unitarian gadfly. She was happy to be associated with us and not too closely associated. For her, she lived in that place where she recognized that each soul had the opportunity to magnify God, to make bigger, to reflect, to make seem as if it is closer, the presence of the divine. And for this woman of many words who made her living by words, she was also one of the highest paid lecturers of her day, she described her transformative, mystical experience as one where words failed her. She was sitting at her father's deathbed, and she remembered another time where there was a woman incarcerated who who was on her deathbed, a young woman. And she wrote in a letter to a dear friend that in that experience, she saw how she and her life mirrored within the blackness and the yawning gulf of what she called the abyss. There, unanticipated, unlooked for, unlistened for, assurance came. And she talked about how it was always that way, that in the blackness comes the brightness. And she goes on to implore of this dear friend who she was writing, "O child, who wouldst deem thee mine, canst thou read what I cannot write?" The irony, of course, is that we have to use words to describe those wordless, nameless experiences. Yet this extraordinary person, Margaret Fuller, who once complained of the preachers of her day that they had no longer been fired by the Word made God, was nonetheless moved most by the silence made God.
Technology.
The congregation to rise as you're willing and able for our first hymn, Zeke Aldash. Sing, "Where there is faith, there is love," and the choir will lead us. Suggest this is a great hymn to take a deep breath and really sing out. Let's try it.
Where there is faith, there is love.
And today's Esire story comes in absentia. David Miller sent me a story in response to my call, and I was touched by that story. And David Miller was not able to be here because of, in part because of the economy that many of us are feeling, if not all of us, on some level. So, he did mention in there his pastor, and happily, his pastor is here. And so he will be telling, Reverend Mel Hooper will be telling Dave Miller's story.
Some might say that the Lord works in mysterious ways, or by a series of random events, something has come into being that is relevant for this moment. In our kaleidoscope, on page 5, there's a story about our UUC principles that are in our congregation. On the other side are some trivia questions. What do you get when you try to cross a Jehovah's Witness with a UU? Well, what we get is David Miller and Patient DeWeese, because David was a Jehovah's Witness, raised, born, raised, and very committed for many years in his faith. What is a person who converted to UU from another religion called? David Miller. And Patience Louise. And they're also called UUC members. With the electronics of today, I now realize we probably should have had a picture of David to project him on the wall. Because obviously, although we're about the same height, he has more characteristics in common with David McFarlane. He's a white gay male, but he also is what we would call a pagan mystic universalist. And he is a born-again human being. One of the things that happened in his faith is he was invited out, as was Patience. They were called traitors. They were called people who did not belong. Patience was shunned. Patience happens to be David Miller's aunt, although they are very close in age. But David would not shun his aunt, the only member of the family who stayed in relationship. She had to give up her husband, her children. David said, "We are family. We will stay connected. We need to find a place where we can stay connected together." Patience walked through our doors first. David came. So when they knocked on our door, they asked, "Do you have truth there? Do you have reason inside your walls?" And we said, "Come on in and find out." And they walked through those doors and brought their many gifts with them. I was trying to figure why David may have written the passage he did, and I have to guess because I did not see it till I came here. I did not know about it. But I do know that as a witness and living that life, he would not have thought that he would live very long because the end time was coming. It wasn't necessary to get educated because you didn't need that. You didn't worry about earthly things. And this brilliant young man has been born again. He's in his mid-30s. He's gone to college. Patience has returned and has gone to college and are learning. Because they came through the doors and they could find a place where they could seek truth. Now, the real reason David's not here is because our congregation also serves veterans. Although we were considered the peace church, we also serve veterans. And through that program and working on campus, we were looking for someone who could help reach out to some of our vets who again feel left out and not welcomed into the university. And David could empathize with them. And so a job came up this summer, a VISTA job, to try and establish a program to build relationship between the vets and try and help retain them in college. And he understood that from his lived experience. He interviewed for that job, and he was accepted. Unfortunately, he couldn't come here because he would have loved this SI. And you would have seen him prancing around like this David with that creativity and his movement and his passion and his spirit, because that's who David Miller is. So I read what he wrote. Greetings. It was over a year ago, maybe longer, and the topic on Sunday was wrestling with God. The order of service featured a Renaissance-era painting of Jacob wrestling with the angel. Now, prior to the sermon, there was a reading of the story from Genesis. And then the minister, Reverend Mel Hoover, started preaching. And I mean preaching. He spoke forthrightly about the great questions that confront us about life and its meaning or lack thereof. He spoke of all those that see all of this and say a holy no. In other words, there are those of us who simply can't accept God. The answer doesn't work, and we feel this need to do it on our own. He went on to talk about the holy maybe and the holy yes. In one sermon, he covered atheists, agnostics, and theists, and showed how all of us are trying to get to the same place, how we are all are on our own ways wrestling with God. I didn't feel separate from the atheists and agnostics in that sermon. I felt a kinship with them. That is why I'm a Unitarian Universalist, David says. Because of moments like that, moments when I realized that diversity can actually bring us together and need not drive us apart. Moments when I really can feel in fellowship with those who may answer the big questions so different from me. Those times when I am both aware of how individual we are and how the same we are simultaneously. Let us be in peace.
Sing our holy song in us. acceptable in thy sight, over I. So the words of my mouth and my heart be acceptable in thy sight, over I.
That's a song to know. That's on the list of whatever you should know. It's one of the most ancient songs that we have, one of the most ancient recorded songs, and it still has vibrance today for some reason. For some reason, that place where those Israelites were removed from their homes, taken away by force to experience life in bondage, and then, to add insult to injury, were asked to sing a song of Zion. Okay, we're in a different place. How are we going to sing? How are we going to get in touch with our most important, our deepest experience of life when we're away from the temple? All right. We got a song for you. The wicked took us away. And when we were away, we learned how to sing a new song in a new place. And so this song becomes a song of protest. Like the Irish who dance like this. Because they didn't want to move their arms anymore because they were forced to dance for the British conquerors. This story, like almost every story, whether it's Toy Story 3 or whether it's Harry Potter or whether it's Margaret Fuller, who was trying to live a full life in what she experienced as a constricted environment, who tried to live by words, those moments, those ephemeral moments that made her life possible, those moments of deep silence. We were home. We were homeless. And then we were home again, but different. Babylon is the low point of the every story. We were where we wanted to be. We were taken away. We got something back. Now, if it's a comedy, you get something back that's better. If it's a tragedy, you get somewhere that was worse. But you are the richer for having heard the story, if you also learn from the story. And it's not only true for the epic poets of yester millennia, and it's not only true for the executives at Disney, it's also true for a three-year-old among us. Little Ray. He's the one with the yellow helmet in the back that has black in front. And he was talking to my four-year-old son. My four-year-old son was asking him, "So can we come over to your house?" Because they wanted to go over and play with the cars that Ray brought to SI. And he said, "I don't have a house anymore. I have an apartment over there." The stories that we make up come from deep within us. I see in Ray an epic poem coming out somewhere around his mid-30s. It becomes like breathing in and out. I am home, I am homeless, I am home again but changed. I am silent, I speak, I am newly silent. I reflect, I act, I reflect with new insights. Like music requires silence, or justice work requires inaction, or speaking requires listening, or finding our true home requires homelessness. Like Margaret Fuller, we whose deepest insights and thoughts and feelings and experiences are beyond words. While when we are most at home, most in the presence of the holy, whether it be yes, maybe, or no, or something in between, words fail utterly. We are exiled to a world of words. So we come to SI, to worship at SI, to craft our values, to shape again what for us is of most worth, to touch even fleetingly those places where we create together and are together that home for which we hope. That ultimate home, where at SI we experience in relationship, in communion, in sharing our story, in God, in nature, in song, and in moments of the silence of deep peace. Because without that peace, the rest of it would just be so much incomprehensible noise.
Uh,
Our next song is a song by Pat Humphreys called Peace Shalom, Peace Salam Shalom. And I think I'll take a moment to teach it for you, and then we'll add the dance. So it goes like this. Peace Salam Shalom, Peace Salam Shalom, Peace Salam Shalom, Peace Salam Shalom. Peace, salam, 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 shalom. So please rise as you're willing and able, and we'll dance.
Go this way first. One, two, three.
This is also a good song for harmony, so sing along.
Ready?
Peace, salam, shalom. 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 Peace, salam, shalom.
Try it as a round, beginning with this side.
Ready, yeah, go.
Peace, salam, shalom. 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 Peace, salam, shalom.
For peace, yes, we will work for peace. Oh, we will work for peace. Yes, we will work for peace. Oh, we can live in peace. Yes, we can live in peace. Oh, we can live in peace. Yes, we will live in peace. Oh, peace, salam, shalom. Peace, salam, shalom. Peace, salam, shalom. Peace, salam, shalom. Yes, we believe in peace. Yes, we believe in peace. Yes, we believe in peace. Oh, we will work for peace.
Of our stories, may we remember to live too through our silences.
It's great to have fans, you know? Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo! Look at this day. We got another one back-to-back that's fantastic. Allows us to move around and not be restricted by puddles and roped off mud. So I'm very grateful for that. We have First Church of Columbus at 12:30 today is having their picture taken here in the atrium behind here of Pierce. So please show up for that. That'd be great. And also Grace Watts, little young lady here. Her mother was extremely excited because she truly believes that this child was touched by fairy dust and is now beginning to talk words. Yes. And amazingly, that's all I have at the moment. Do we have some shout-outs? Yes. Toledo Church picture is tomorrow at 1:15, not today, and that is where? Right outside by Pierce Hall. Right, very good.
Ginger Hill redo today at 6 o'clock.
And where is that?
A redo of
the picture at 6 o'clock. Yeah, and where's the what is the location of the picture? Pierce. Okay, Ginger Hill is a redo. Apparently we didn't like what we looked like. No. And because we have a better side and a worse side, so. Yes? This person standing here behind you waving her arms is carrying multiple copies. So she'll get you some blank forms. So there we go. That's wonderful. More SI magic. Yes? Tonight. That's wonderful.
Catherine, Rock Steps,
8:15. 8:15, what time?
8:15.
P.M.?
Tonight.
For a photo? Oh, it's still light out. I'm sorry. Gosh, it'd be very dark. Fuzziness again in the morning. That's fine. Anything else? Gosh, I love this. This is...
Earl, I think you should share the ransom note.
The ransom... Charleston, 1:15 here, Pierce. Very good. The ransom note. Totally blindsided on that, so I don't know what I'm walking into. Okay. Because with this community, anything. All right, here we go. Wow. Revenge of the betrayed. You use, don't mess with our chalice, light the real flame, or the safe return of your soul. Oh, it's gone. Signed, gentle, angry people. Should have been at the crime and seen the crime. No. All right. Very good. Let us have a quick discussion about the flame. That would be fantastic. Well, not a discussion, because I'm just going to share it with you. And that is simply, Kenyon has a policy of no open flame in any building in on their campus. And that has been a policy that's been around for a very, very long time. So although we tell our youth and in their programming and in their worship that there's no open flame on the inside, we would stand here and go, poof. So we decided this year that we were going to set an example that we should not have open flame inside. There was much talk about that, much wrestling about how we would do that. And at the moment, the LED was the process. So we're trying to be consistent, sending a consistent message to our youth. Stop burning candles in your rooms because it's very dangerous. And so we're setting an example for that. So we had numerous ideas. The crepe paper with the breeze underneath and it's flapping, but then that got too noisy. So we just came with that. So that's why we're doing that. And we can revisit this in the year's future as to what obviously some of the community wants open flame. And wow, I have to think about it. I got to work on this. It's brand new to me right here. So, anywho, anything else? Evidence. That's right. There's a flame. Oh, okay. So, for Open Flame, we had an idea on, I was going to do it on closing ceremony. The iPhone or iTouch has that looks like a Bic lighter. So I'm going to take my iTouch, download that app, and I'm just going to tape it to the top of here. And we're going to show about Open Flame about that big. And so that was another solution that we had, and it's a great idea. And since it's gone, that now forces us to get the iTouch. So again, technology comes through. God, I love it. All right, get out of here. Have some fun.